The mother's already stole my sermon. So 1 Corinthians 13. So this is a chapter. Paul is dealing with spiritual gifts. We're going through 1 Corinthians. So we talked about chapter 12, the spiritual gifts. And right in the middle of this discussion on spiritual gifts, and the next chapter is going to be about tongues and prophesying, is this chapter on love and the importance of love. I want to just go over some facts before we read the chapter. One is in the Greek, and some of you already know this. Pastor Jeff actually preached on this a couple of months ago, so I'm just going to kind of hit some highlights. But there are three words in the Greek for love. The first Greek word is phileo. It's brotherly, sisterly love. It's kind of a friendship type of love. It's Philadelphia is named after this Greek word, so brotherly, sisterly love. The next Greek word for love that's translated love is eros. That's the sensual, sexual love. It's where we get the term erotic. And then there is a term for love that comes from God, and that's agape love. And it is this love, this third love, that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. This is a love that only believers in Jesus Christ can actually experience. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes," and this is agape love, "for agape love comes from" who? Comes from God. "Everyone who agape loves has been" what? "Born of God and knows God. Whoever does not agape love does not know God, because God is love." So, in fact, 1 Corinthians 13 can only be experienced by those who are born of God and know God. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you are born again into God's family. Our mothers gave us birth into the human family, but when we give our hearts to Jesus, we're born into God's family. And everyone who loves, if you're able to practice agape love, 1 Corinthians 13, you are born of God. You know Jesus Christ. Those that do not know the Lord do not understand, do not know agape love. Romans 5:5. "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love, his agape love, into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." So we know that when we get the Holy Spirit, we produce fruit in our life. And what are the first three fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in our life? Love, joy, and peace. It's the love, joy, and peace that we get from being filled with the Holy Spirit is a love, joy, and peace that the world cannot understand. They cannot experience it. They can experience a little bit, but in Jesus Christ, our love and our joy and our peace is way above what anyone in the world can experience. So as we live Spirit-filled lives, we need to be born again. As we live Spirit-filled lives, we can practice 1 Corinthians 13. If as a Christian, you're not walking with the Spirit, you're not having the Holy Spirit pour into your life, you will have a difficult time doing 1 Corinthians 13. So in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13, Paul, the Corinthians believed that there were five things that really made someone a super Christian. And those five things were, and again, this is the Corinthians speaking, the five things that they believed were, you know, made you an outstanding Christian was, number one, if you spoke in tongues. Number two, if you prophesied and understood God's word and mysteries and had knowledge. Number three, if you were a person of incredible faith that you could move mountains. Number four was if you were an amazing giver, that you just sacrificially gave all your money and everything you owned. And number five, the ultimate sacrifice of standing up for Jesus and becoming a martyr for him. So the Corinthians said, wow, those are the amazing Christians that are out there. Those who speak in tongues, know God's word, have faith, give, and are martyrs for Jesus Christ. Paul comes along and he says, you know what? Yeah, that may be super wonderful, but let me tell you, if you do all those things and you do not have love, you are nothing. So 1 Corinthians 13, let me start in verse 1. And you'll see these five things here. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, that's the second one. Here's the third one. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, so you give all your money, your CDs, your stocks, your house, your cars. If I give all to the poor, that's number four, and here's number five, and surrender my body to the flames to become a martyr for Jesus Christ, but have not love, I gain nothing. So the Apostle Paul is like, you know, you can have all these things, but if it isn't with love, you gain nothing, you are nothing, you don't get any reward. Let me move on to verse 4. So verse 4 to verse 8 is the definition of agape love. And long ago, I like memorizing scripture. I memorized this. It was kind of to practice self-brainwashing. And I think these are verses that all Christians should memorize so that you understand what agape love is. And it's interesting, the first thing there in that definition is love is what? Patient. Did you hear how many of the women mentioned patience with being a godly mother or practicing? And it's like, wow, that is the first thing in the definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere, and love never fails. I think it's good to memorize it so that the Holy Spirit can bring it back to your remembrance when the Spirit pours this love into your heart. I'm going to again emphasize to you that you are unable to do this unless you are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. You will not be able, the world cannot follow this definition of love. Now, there are 16 elements of love in this definition. There are 8 positive things, what love is, and there are 8 what love is not. And I know it's hard to see the numbers here. The 8 positive things is love is patient, love is kind, love rejoices in the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. So there are 8 positive things what love is. And then there are 8 negative things what love is not. It is not, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, and love does not delight in evil. Those are the 8. So there are 16 altogether. 8 positive, 8 negative. So let's talk about them really quick here, because I know we're going to have communion. And Pastor Jeff already covered a lot of this 2 months ago. So first one is love is patient. The Greek word there means long-suffering. King James Version actually has long-suffering, which is very good. It means that you have a long fuse in your life. And maybe we can connect it with is not easily angered. And it's funny. We went out to dinner 2 nights ago, and our meal was like a total disaster. First, we get chicken, and it's uncooked. First of all, our waiter hardly shows up. And then the meat is uncooked. And so they come out, and they're like, oh, this is horrible. Oh, we are so sorry. And don't worry, the manager will be out, and we'll take care of this. And they take it off. Then they disappear. Then they come back and go, this is a little while later. They come back and go, now, do you want that reheated or recooked, or do you want it all new? And we're like, you're asking us? So then they went, and then they brought us out our vegetables. Here, you can eat your vegetables. So we ate our vegetables. Then the food finally come. Then the waiter didn't show up. We had to wait. We had to ask people. I didn't get any water. I go crazy. Anyway, I knew that the Lord was testing me on my patience. on my long fuse. And I was like, okay, Lord, I know I'm preaching on it. It must be why you're testing me. So love is kind. Love is kind is not only verbally are you kind to people, but in actions are you kind to people. Do you encourage people? Do you build people up with your words? And do you do kind deeds? It does not envy or it is not jealous. Love does not envy or practice jealousy towards one another. If someone gets a nice home, you praise God. Oh, praise God that you got a nice home or a nice car. If someone's smarter, does better on the test, God gave you great brains when it comes to math or talents or whatever. If we, instead of being jealous and envious of each other, it's like just learn to rejoice. God has made each one of us unique and special, and we all have different gifts, and you will go insane. The world is envious and jealous of one another. We should not be. We should be able to rejoice with each other. It does not boast. I think of, I have to tell you this humorous story. This guy just finished his first aid class, and he's driving home when up ahead he sees an accident that just happened, and they got the person out of the car. And some woman is trying to help out, and there's a whole crowd there. So he pulls aside, he jumps out, he runs over to the person laying on the ground, he pushes the woman aside, says, look, I just finished my first aid class, and I got a 100, and I got an A, and I know what I'm doing because I've just finished my first aid, and he's checking out the person that's hurt. And the woman that he pushed aside says, well, let me know when you get to the part in the first aid class when you need help to call the doctor, because I'll be here to help you then. Okay. It says in Jeremiah, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. Let not the strong man boast of his strength. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he knows the Lord. Love is not proud. The Greek word there is actually bellows. You know, the bellows that you... It's when you blow yourself up with pride. Love is not rude. Love is polite. And it's interesting to me that as we get away from God, how rude we are to one another. Politeness comes from godly love. It is not self-seeking. Love is not about oneself. Love is about humility. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And in the Greek, that's an accounting term where we keep records of people. You know, you wronged me here. You did this twice. You did it. It's keeping records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And I thought to myself, you know, love does not delight in evil. Do you know that most of the TV is like delighting in evil? Like I watch these sitcoms, and it's the people are rude to each other. They're cutting. They practice every kind of sin. And everyone's laughing. I mean, we're watching these. It's so ungodly what they do in these sitcoms and how they treat each other and how they promote sin and wrong thinking. And millions of people, billions all around the world are watching this. And it's like these people, I think they study what is wrong in the Bible just so that they can push it in the sitcoms. But the Christian doesn't delight in evil. It's so hard for me to watch those shows. I'm like, how can you laugh at this? They're cutting down fathers and mothers and Christians and whatever is normal they cut down, and whatever is sinful they lift up. Oh, by the way, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. A lot of people ask me, what is hatred? And a lot of people think hatred must be murder. But hatred is actually the opposite of what? Of love. So you want to know what hatred is? Love is patient. Hatred is impatient. Love is kind. Hatred is unkind. You never say a kind word to people. You don't do kind deeds to other people. Hatred, love does not envy. Hatred envies everyone. Love does not boast. Hatred boasts. Love is not proud. Hatred is prideful. Think of Satan and affecting us with pride. Love is not rude. Hatred is rude. Love is not self-seeking. Hatred only thinks about self. Love is not easily angered. hatred is easily angered, and that's why we think of murder, because, of course, when you get angry, it can lead to murder either in your mind or literally. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Hatred keeps a record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. All right, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. Love never fails. Agape love never fails. If you're going to have a good Christian marriage, you need to walk in the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because you need this kind of agape love for your marriage to make it. If you do not have this, this cannot be done in your own strength and your own power. If you try, you will fail. The only way you can do this is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. So let me zoom to the end. Come to the last verse of chapter 13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Is love. So there are three important spiritual characteristics: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. And the reason why is faith and hope are very selfish things. Faith is what saves me. Hope is what cheers me. The hope that I'm going to heaven. The hope that I have a mansion in glory. The hope that I live forever. Love is the only thing that's for others. To love others and to love God. So faith is about me. I'm saved. Hope is about me. I'm going to heaven to cheer me. But love is about others. Of the three, faith eventually will disappear. Because faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. But when we get to heaven, I think of Betty Hill. Betty Hill is this woman that's been in this church a long time. Her husband has already gone, and he's in glory with Jesus. And soon she will be with him. It may be by the end of today. And so I think to myself, she has faith that she's going, you know, faith in her salvation, faith in Jesus, and she's going to go to heaven. Though she doesn't, you know, she doesn't see it. But today, perhaps, she will see Jesus. She will see her husband. She'll see her loved ones. And faith is gone because she sees now. And hope will be gone. She, right now, she's hoping in the mansion. She's hoping to walk the streets of gold. She puts her hope in the resurrection of the dead. But once she's in the presence of Jesus, perhaps today, hope will be gone. But there is one of those three that lasts forever, and that is love. Betty Hill will be up in heaven, and she will love Jesus for eternity. She will love all the saints that are in heaven for eternity. And that's why love is so important. As a Christian, I just want to share with you what the world needs is, I know the spiritual gifts are important. I know giving's important, having faith that can move mountains, offering yourself to be a martyr for the Lord. I know the spiritual gifts are important, but it doesn't compare with the power of love. Jesus said, all men will know you are my disciples if you, what? If you love one another. It is when you practice this love in your marriage, with your children, with your neighbors, this is the key to winning people to Jesus. Because they cannot experience that in their marriage. They can only have Philadelphia, phileo love, or eros, sensual love. When they see a Christian couple doing agape love, they realize that this is a love that doesn't come from us. There's got to be a God that gives that kind of love. And not only when they see it with your marriage and with your children, but when they see that love and you aim that love at them, you love your neighbor as yourself, it's almost irresistible. It's an amazing draw to draw people to God who is love.